Let's stand and worship.
You are
Love has called my name. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Amen. Aren't you glad of that today? You know, the next song we're going to sing is a song that we haven't done in a while, but it's so powerful. And I was thinking of things this morning, and Big Mama came to mind, because I heard Bjorn say, not, I don't know how long ago it was, but about how she prayed and prayed and prayed for him in his early days. And I just thought about the power of prayer, and I thought about the man Bjorn is today and his family. And then I thought about how my family has been drawn to this church. And because of her prayers and Bjorn that we're here. And I saw it all connect with like my grandparents. My grandfather was a pastor who I know prayed for me. I know my granny Grubbs and my grandmother, I knew they prayed for me. And when I just thought about all the connections there and the power of prayer, I can tell you right now, without that, I wouldn't be right here. I promise you. I used to be scared to death to sing. And I didn't think it was cool. But now I think it's cool and I love it. But isn't that just, it's just amazing to me of an awesome God that we serve. And with the power of prayer, what can happen? And you know what? I'm going to continue that. And I know my granddad and my grandma and Kitty, I know they pray for my kids. I know I pray for my kids. I know Bibi and Pops prays for our kids. And I know the power of God. I know how great our Lord is. And I am just so thankful for that today. Amen.
Our love, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our
Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your presence in this house, God. We thank you for who you are, for how great you are, God. And one day all the earth will sing, and we're going to sing it today, God. Great are you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Boy, that kind of brings reality about your kids, doesn't it? It goes by really, really fast if you don't know that or not. And you okay? You scared me.
I scared myself.
I forgot you was back there. I don't even know if I'm going to even use it, and you would like to hurt yourself over nothing. That would have been bad. But we want to encourage you to not run from our wonderful children leaders when you see them. Run to them, because I know a lot of times you see them coming, you're going, I'm going to go the other way because they're going to ask me what I like to help in children's church sometimes. So don't run from them, run to them. And be a part of helping them grow in the stature and the wisdom of God. Amen? We don't have that many weekends. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Amen. A couple of things. I've had a great illustration the last two Sundays to use, but I can't use this morning because they're in here. So we won't use that illustration this morning. But appreciate all your prayers for Mother. And she's resting well. She gets agitated some, but she's just waiting on her reward. And we're looking forward to that. She keeps saying that she's here for a reason. She's still here because she has a purpose. She's 97 years old. She's laying what we would call her deathbed, and she's still saying, I have a purpose, and I'm not leaving here until God's through with me. And she called me a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't know I thought at first she's just old, and she's losing her mind, and she's just, you know, that's what I was thinking. She called me on the phone, and she said, Buren, you need to come here. The church is on fire. And, of course, I just wrote that off. And this morning, as we were worshiping, The Lord just spoke to me and said, she gave you a prophetic word and you didn't even know it. It's on fire with the Spirit of God. And it's about to really explode with the fire and the passion of God. I thought, wow. You know, Michaels was singing that song. You have to sing that song. Your breath in my lungs and these bones will sing. You have to sing that with much more tenacity than we sing it with. So God bless you with continued healing. I want to share some really neat, I feel like some really neat stuff with you this morning. And I have a lot of titles for this message. I guess the best one is The Purpose of the Table. Another one is How to Come to Your Senses. Another one is Stupid Is as Stupid Does. And I started to use that one, but every time I use that word, I get scolded. You shouldn't say that word, especially when children are around. Shouldn't say the word stupid. And, you know, we just about taken away all the, we can't hardly say anything as Christians. We can't express ourselves sometimes in what we really feel in the heart because we just like take all our words away from us. And I love the movie Forrest Gump, one of my favorites. It's in my top 10. I'll watch it every time it comes on. But I told Forrest one time, are you stupid? He says, stupid is as stupid does. And there in this parable, this story of the prodigal son that we'll talk about again this morning, a key phrase in there says, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. The light came on. He realized something that he needed to realize. All of a sudden, he started thinking the right way. And I'm going to start out with this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:19, and it says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. And then in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? So Jesus gives three stories to relate to one complaint. He didn't, and this is important what I'm about to say. What Jesus is about to do, he's telling these stories. He's making them up. He's making up three stories, three parables to explain to these Pharisees why they're so wrong. And what he's really saying is he wanted to show them how blind they were, how narrow-minded they were, and how self-righteous they were. And so he's going to tell them three stories to let them know just exactly what he wants them to understand. And so he tells them three parables. He tells them that, you know, and I've just jotted some things down. I thought when I think, you know, this is the greatest story. The prodigal son's probably the greatest story ever told. How many would pretty much agree with that? That's probably the greatest story ever told. No chapter is so well known in the Bible, but so not practiced. Y'all didn't get that one. No story in the Bible is so well known, but yet so not practiced. It's called the gospel in the gospel. I like that. I like this better. It's the distilled essence of the good news. Distilled essence. It's the most pure understanding of the good news found anywhere in Scripture. It came out of the Pharisees' complaint. See, the Pharisees called everybody outside them the people of the land. It was so opposite to them because Jesus said, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repents than over 99 righteous. The Pharisees thought there was more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner being destroyed than anything else. I remember my Uncle Andrew, which was Getty's brother, who was also a pastor and was a great mentor of mine. He got me aside one time, and I've told this story a lot, but I want to share it again. He said, if you're going to preach on hell, and you can't preach it with a tear in your eye, then don't preach it. If you can't preach it without a tear in your eye, don't talk about it. He said, too many preachers preach about hell as though they're glad somebody's going there. And he said, if you can't preach it without a tear in your eye, don't preach. And you live this. I love my daddy. Daddy's a great man. Daddy and Uncle Andrew were night and day difference from each other in ministry. Daddy was one way and Uncle Andrew, he was this way. And I got mentored in a good way from both of them. But I loved Uncle Andrew's humble heart. I love his spirit that he projected all the time. And Uncle Andrew, I believe because of that, you hear Ralph, he's told the stories about us restoring him and how grateful and thankful he was for that. But let me tell you what preceded that was that when Uncle Andrew retired from the ministry and just got too old to do what he was doing, Ralph took him in, he and my Aunt Lenny, into their church and paid him back 25, 30 years ago, $300 a month to sit on a pew. $300 a week to just sit in a pew and do nothing. And Uncle Andrew was blessed because I believe he was blessed that way because he was such a blessing. And so I want to be daddy this morning, if I can, for a few moments. And I think I have taught you well about God's view of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. I think we're pretty well there, don't you think? We're pretty well. I got to give you credit. I really believe you know what mercy is. I really do. I think you know how God's heart really is, and that God is always loving us at all times. But I want to talk to you this morning about keeping your senses. I want to talk to you about not being stupid. I want to talk to you about this prodigal son who all of a sudden he came to his senses. But he only came halfway to his senses. Because he said this, why am I here in this hog pen? Why am I doing what I'm doing when I have a father and that his servants and slaves are treated better than this? And so he says this, I will return to my father's house and I will say to him, I'm not coming as your son. There were three kinds of people who lived on the farm. There was the parents, the father and the mother. There were the sons and the daughters. Then there were slaves. And the slaves were treated just like a son and a daughter were treated. They were slaves, but they were slaves because they chose to be. And so they were treated just like a regular son and daughter. They didn't have an inheritance, but they were treated well. But then there were hired servants, which was the least in the farm. They were paid to do the work nobody else would do. And so the son's coming home, not with the mentality, I want to be a son again, or even a slave. I'll make me as one of your hired servants. In other words, he had gotten so far away from his rightful place. He'd gotten so far away from his rightful thinking. He was so blinded by where he was that he didn't realize really who he was anymore. We've said it oftentimes that, you know, and I've said it, and I've decided I wouldn't say this anymore, that when people say, I've just lost myself, I got to find myself, I used to mock that and go, how do you lose yourself? And I don't do that anymore, because people really do get lost. They just lose who they really are. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life God gives. They what? They wander from the life that God gives. You see, there were three different stories that Jesus is trying to illustrate the same thing, but he says some sheep, they get lost because they wander away. A corn gets lost because it's maybe not handled right. You know, that goes along with our children. We need to train up our children the way they should go. We need to handle them right. There are a lot, some children are lost today, not of their own accord. They're lost because they never were taught any different. They're lost because they weren't raised up the way they should have been raised. They get lost. Now, sometimes they get lost like the prodigal son. They were raised right, but they just made the wrong choice. And so some get lost because they wander away. Some are lost because they're not handled correctly. Maybe they're not taught right. You know, I have to keep reminding myself, some people act the way they act and think the way they think because they're not taught any better. That's how they're taught to think. And so they think like they're taught to think. So I have to remind myself that everybody doesn't see this. Everybody doesn't get this. And it's not their fault. It's our fault. It's minister's fault. It's teacher's fault. It's parents' fault. It's we haven't taught them right. Well, amen. And then there's the choices that we make. Give me my inheritance. Now, here's what the son is saying, Keith, to his daddy. I wish you were dead. That's what he's saying. That's what his daddy heard. Because you don't get it until he's dead. So he's really saying to his daddy, such disrespect and dishonor. Give me my inheritance now. I'm out of here. And what his daddy heard was, I just assumed for you to be dead. Because I want my inheritance now. They wander from the life God gives because they have closed their minds, hardened their hearts. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Their days of conducting your lives, he's saying in the Greek, in a meaningless way, is over. Now, all of this in a moment, if you bear with me, hang with me, listen closely to what I'm saying, you're going to see how to not lose your mind, how to not lose your senses. Don't you love the story he came to his senses? Don't you love the father's love for him? Aren't you glad that he killed a fatted calf? And aren't you glad he put a ring on his finger? Aren't you glad he put a robe on? Aren't you glad that we all have been in that place before and we experienced the Father's heart? Aren't you glad of that? Well, how would it be if you never got there? It's a beautiful story and I love it. But, you know, you don't have to go to the hog pen. We don't have to lose our mind and forget who we really are. We don't have to go down that. Proverbs is filled with verses and chapters that say, don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. Don't even look down the road. Don't go there. The Lord's prayer was to his disciples, pray this, lead us not into temptation. Don't even get to the place where you will be. Well, y'all just excited about this one, I tell. Don't get to the place. Don't put yourself in the place where you're tempted. Don't go down the road. When you see the road, don't go down it. It's real simple, isn't it, Keith? Don't do it. If you want some simple, practical understanding of finances, talk to Keith Wesley. He'll tell you what not to do. And if you don't do it, guess what? You'll have money. I walked by his office one time years ago, and he was counseling somebody. And he said, you got a bicycle, don't you? He said, yeah. He said, ride your bike. And when it was over, I got to Keith. I said, did I hear you tell the guy to get to ride his bike to work? He said, yeah. He can't afford a car. And I kind of felt sorry for the guy, but I got to thinking about it later on in life. He's right. Anyway, that's somebody maybe needs to hear that. I figured maybe you do. Yeah, my daddy told me one time when I built this, when we got married, we couldn't afford to feed ourselves. We had two horses. Yeah, duh, that's six. And two horses, we can't even buy groceries for our own self. And I got two horses, and we didn't have a pasture. Yeah, stupid is as stupid does. And so daddy says, son, you can't afford two horses. Later on, we built a swimming pool. We needed a car. And daddy said to me one day when I got, he never said anything until it was all done. It was all finished. I had the family over. We're having a pool party. We're cooking hamburgers and swimming, having a big time. We're having a big pool party. And daddy's just there. I didn't love him then. After everybody's excited and having fun, daddy, he gets me to the side and he says, like that pool, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, well, I want to see you get in it, drive it to town, and buy groceries. I mean, he just out of the way. Stupid is, and stupid does. That's kind of dumb. I don't know where I'm going now, but they were just blinded by their sense. They just lost their way. They were just doing dumb things. They had come so conditioned to their distance from God. So conditioned from their distance from God. You know, it's amazing that you can't go anywhere without Him, yet you can be so distant from Him. You can't go anywhere without Him, but you can be so distant from Him. You know, it's like two people in love can be in the same house and be so distant from each other. But they're there, but yet they're distant from each other. What can I do to not lose my senses, and what can I do to regain my senses? How many want to know that? All right, two of you want to know that. All right, the rest of you just listen. I love y'all. You know, I got so tickled the other week I was preaching, and when I got home, I was by myself and just started laughing. Because I told you, I want you to imagine a door. How many remember that, Davis? I want you to imagine a door right here. And what was so funny, some of you weren't imagining a door. You really saw it. That bothered me. You had the door painted. I mean, you just saw. I said, I just love this church. You just ask them, they just, yeah, let's do it. I love you. Anyway, can I not lose my senses? How can I get back to the place, or how can I stay in the place that I need to stay in or get back to? I don't know where you are. You may be out there wanting to get back to the place, or you may be in the place, and I don't want you to lose the place. I mean, I love restoration. I love all that it means and all that it can happen. But I want to tell you something. Just keeping it together is so much easier. Keeping it together is so much better. Restoration is not easy. It's not an easy thing. I told you a story about Daddy always told him he was a mechanic. He said, maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. Maintain, maintain, maintain. Change the oil, change the oil, change the oil. I had to call him one day and said, my car broke down, Daddy. It stopped running. He said, what do you mean it stopped running? I said, it made this loud noise and it stopped running. He said, you ain't got no oil in it. I said, what? He said, how many times have I told you to put oil in the car? I said, a lot. Well, this is what happened. And this, he said, this is what happens when you don't maintain it. It breaks. I loved it. He used to tell me, he says, you know everybody at the racetrack in Atlanta, Hampton, actually Hampton, it's not Atlanta Raceway. They want to make it sound big. It's Hampton Raceway. And they want to make it sound big. It's in Hampton. I never understood calling it Atlanta Raceway, and it's in Hampton. And he said, you know, everybody in that race not there to win. I said, what are they there for? He said, just get lap money. He said, there's only a handful of them who really expect to win the race. They're just there for lap money. I think sometimes we're in this life just to barely get through instead of to win the race. Paul said, run this race like you want to win it. Run it like you really mean to do it. And what am I, I'm jumping the gun. I want to get there so quick. See, you, how many have heard this said, it's got to go from the head to the heart? How many heard that over your lifetime? Have you heard that? Got to go from the head to the heart? What's wrong? It's got to go from the heart to the head. We're always taught backwards in a lot of things. I'll show you in a moment what the scripture says. You got to go from the heart to the head. The head can never go to the heart. Because the head is so confused sometimes, it's going to mislead the heart. Oh, that's good. That was good. That just came right out. So, sometimes the head will mess the heart up, but the heart will never mess the head up. Because the heart was never contaminated. The spirit was never contaminated. The head was contaminated. Oh, that's good. I gotta write that down. So, how do I do it? What do I do? All right, the two of you want to know. Here it is. Ready? Ephesians something. 4. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Now, he's talking to a church of Ephesus who undoubtedly had learned something about Christ. But now he says, that isn't what you learned about Christ. That's not what you were taught. That's not what you were imparted. This is not what I told you. This is not what you learned. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Go to the next. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Wow. Let your spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. In other words, if you will go with what you feel in here, it will change what you think up here. John chapter 7, let's look at this scripture. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from your heart." He didn't say what you think would cause rivers. If you just believe in me, rivers will flow from your heart. It will come from the innermost being of who you are. You see, inside here, you tell yourself a lot of good stuff. But if you start thinking from up here, it kind of starts corrupting what you're thinking coming from here. It's, you can call it intuition, you can call it whatever you want, but it's got to come from your, the Bible says, let bowels of mercy come forth. See, it's where compassion comes. Compassion doesn't come from up here, because up here you look at somebody and you look at them and go, well, they deserve to be where they are. But if it comes from here, you don't think about what they did wrong to get to where they are. It comes out of your innermost being, your spirit. And out of your spirit, you see, the lost sheep, if you can depart from that loving thing, if the sheep, watch this, the sheep that wandered away was still a sheep. It couldn't stop being a sheep because it wasn't with the shepherd. The lost coin never lost the inscription and the image that's on the coin because it was lost. The son never really lost his sonship because he was lost. He just had to re-identify who he was. So it's from the heart to the head that renews us. And if you will go by, not a person here doesn't understand this. There's not even a child will understand this. You know in here what's right and wrong. You know. You know not to go down the road. You know in here. You feel it. It goes, ooh, right there. But it's up here when you start thinking wrong. And thinking long, you do wrong. But if it comes out of your spirit, it's reason. Psalm 119 and 112 says, "Incline your heart to me forever." Wow. Incline your heart to me forever. In other words, we got this banquet table we're going to talk about, but if you'll notice, there's three words that's under that: engage, discover, define. You got to engage. You got to incline your heart toward it. You know what I'm saying? You see, there's a lot of people who made some resolutions this year up here. I have made up my mind to lose my belly so many times, it ain't funny. So many times, it is a daily battle with me. A daily. Now think about it. You know what? It ain't got down here yet, literally. When it gets down here, guess what? It'll happen. About 12, 14 years ago, it got down here. And in 2 months, I lost 20 pounds. Not, it wasn't from up here. It was here. I'd made it up in my heart. There's a difference. You got to make up not your mind. You got to make up your heart, your intestinal fortitude. You, it comes from right there. And when it comes from there, you'll get it done. It'll happen. But it's got to come from deep cause. The Bible says deep cause to deep. It's where it comes from. Shepherd went after the sheep. The woman searched for the coin. And you better be glad somebody came after you. I mean, you're glad somebody came after you. Thank you for acknowledging my mother and all these prayers. We all are probably here because of her prayers. And aren't you glad somebody came after you when you were lost? I'm glad. She lost a coin. It was a headband that she wore around her head. And she lost one coin out of 10 around her head. She lost part of her mind. She lost part of the decrees, the laws of life that are so important. And when she did, she searched that floor. She searched and searched until she found it. And the lost son, he just had to come to his senses. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? And he woke up. And on his way back, he found out you never lost anything. You just lost up here. Here has always been the same. And he rediscovered it once again. God loves you. I love you. People here love you enough to tell you, keep your senses about you. Think from here and let it purify the thoughts. I hope I'm helping you. I hope I'm helping you with this, because I know people who still have this. I'm just absolutely horrible at this. I know you still have that in your mind. I'm just absolutely horrible about this thinking thing. I'm just absolutely horrible about keeping a positive mind. Has anybody said that about themselves? Oh, I want to be positive. Stop trying to be positive up here. Come from here. And when it comes from here, it'll go to here. Let the Spirit renew your mind. In 1973, on a Sunday night, I came back to God by the Spirit, and it renewed my mind. I left out of there totally renewed. Instantly, because the Spirit of God did it. The Spirit inside of you did it. That's what's called born again. That's what's called life anew. That's what's called a lot of different ways to describe it. How you begun it, you got to continue in it. What messes people up is this. Mike Oliver, you say the mind's a terrible thing. It must be put out in our generation. And what he's really saying is how we think needs to be put out. Amen? Aren't you glad you came now? Okay, three of you glad you came. Debbie just said, I just need to be there. I want you to stand with me for a moment. It's a picture I want to paint for you. I was in India. The shepherds, they come into the villages every morning and they get people's goats and they follow the shepherds out. That's their job. They follow these shepherds out and they pasture them all day long. At night and the evenings, you'll see the shepherds bringing these goats back to the village. And it's always neat. When they get to that village, all these goats, they just bring them to the gate or whatever, the village, and all these goats just go home. They go to where they're supposed to be. But if there's ever a time when a shepherd is not seen by a villager, they know he's out there searching for the lost one. And when that happens, the whole village will gather. And they'll gather at the entrance and they'll look for that shepherd bringing that lost one in. And when they come in, the whole village rejoices over that. Because he's not coming home till he finds what was lost. God's not going to stop searching for you. He's not going to stop. He wants you to be in your right mind, and he wants you to have all that you're supposed to have. And three just beautiful, beautiful stories. I'm going to just have to stop listening to my mind because it lies. It tells me things that absolutely is not true. And I'm just not going to listen to it. I'm going to listen to this. This has never, ever led me astray. Not one time. Not one time. Never. I mean, that still small voice that can go, don't go there. Don't. This voice will tell you when you're going down the road, maybe go a different way this time. And when you feel that and you hear that, go a different way. It may tell you this, that, or another. It's there. It's inside you. He's never, ever left you. And if you'll just listen to that, you'll stay on track. You'll stay on course. Thank God for searching for me. Thank God for finding me. Thank God for restoring me. Now, God, help me that you don't have to do that anymore. Okay? Yeah. I used to say this a lot, and I've heard other people say, help me help you. Help me help you. God's saying, help me help you. It's better not to do it and have to be renewed and restored than to just stay on the right path. Amen? Well, glory to God. Got it? Making sure. Got it? I see one or two. I think I got it. All right. Let me tell you how to get it. If you're just thinking you got it and you're not sure you got it, I'm going to close. I'm going to let Will come. All right. This is for those of you who are scratching your head, okay? And thank you. I may have it, but I'm not sure. You ready? We do this every Sunday morning. We do this every week, and we keep telling you how to do this every week. We keep saying it, don't we? So come back. Come back. We're here almost every Sunday morning. It could be a few. I won't be here. But most of the, right? How many, most time I'm here, ain't it, Terry? Tell these people, come back. Tell them, come back.
Come back.
Yeah.
Got your connection cards. Hopefully you filled those out. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you will and put an email there. If you're a member, we want you to communicate with us. It's the way that you are able to sign up or volunteer. This Wednesday night is our first Wednesday, so we will be in here for our time of worship. Don't want to miss that at all. It'll be awesome. If you've got this little piece of paper, it says EWC Kids needs you or EWC Tots needs you. See Tasha or Elena, or email the church office. We've got some small group leaders that we need to fill in some different areas. Even I think one of them has it to where you can volunteer and don't even have to miss any service time. So that's kind of cool. So that information is all there. This Saturday night is the Black Heritage Festival at the auditorium. Our praise team is going to be there playing or performing, and the choirs from Spalding High and Griffin High, and it is a benefit for those two choirs, their groups. So, but I have a few tickets left, so, and it's $10 at the door, or if you come see me, you can get in for free. So if you are interested in that, want to hear our team, it will be a great presentation that evening. So those are available. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with God's people, to be able to bring our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Thank you for your faithfulness. The alms that we were going to partake of this morning or receive this morning, this box, we put it down on the last Sunday of each month just to emphasize it, letting you know that those funds go to help, first of all, those in need in our house, and then we go outside of the house within our community. We use those funds to buy the food when we cook for Rushton Hope. We use those funds to support the food pantry and the soup kitchen. We use those funds to be able to, the Spalding Samaritans, which is emergency utility relief. So anytime you either designate it on your check or you go to the app and you put on alms, you are helping people not only within the church but in our community and across the world. So thank you for that. So as we sing, you can stand, and if you want to come and give a special alms offering this morning, you can do that. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, that we can worship you. Lord, we can receive from you, and we can give to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Great day. We'll see you next Sunday.